This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonta.
Well, Spadoni missed that last one, but we won't talk about that. I guess. Sam Lubman alongside Joe Spadoni here in Flavonta Hill and Joe Shasky. It is Black Friday, and we're feeling good. We're working on a Black Friday, and shout out to all you men and women that are working out there today, Black Friday. If it's here in the Bay Area, it's all across this great nation. Wherever you're working today, we appreciate you stopping on by here. And you know the number to call in. You got Sharks thoughts. You got Giants thoughts. You got Niners, Warriors. We'll take it all here at 888-957-9570, but we're sticking on the Niners right now, Sam Lubman. They got a huge test this Sunday in Buffalo. Is Brock going to play? Is Bosa going to play? Is Trent Williams going to play? All these different huge pieces for the San Francisco 49ers, their status up in the air this Sunday. But, you know, we were talking last segment, we've been talking about also the things that are bothering you, this, that, and the other. Well, let's spin a little positively here. I want to try to get some positive energy in there because I'm a big believer in positive mindset and just having that. All right. If you wish to achieve, you must believe first and foremost. I believe that. You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your squad. And I do have some belief still in this 49ers team. And they are the faithful. That's what they call them, the 49er faithful. You win this game. Or even if you lose it, to be honest with you, you can lose this game and it's not the end of the world. That just means you got to basically either win out or go, what is it, 5-1 the rest of the way? Can they do that?
Yeah, you can go, they're 5-6, right? You can go 5-2 probably.
So here, one, they got six games remaining. So you lose this one, you go 4-1 the rest of the way. You got a chance, I would think. You got the Bears, Rams, Dolphins, Lions, Cardinals. Bears, they got the worst head coach maybe in the NFL. He might get, if he's speaking to the media right now, he might even not last through that, Matt Eberflus. You got the Rams, who you've had their number in the past. You lost to them earlier in the year. That's a Thursday night football game, but it's at Levi's. The Dolphins, you saw the Dolphins yesterday, and that one's in Miami, but I'm not scared of the Dolphins, please. That was the easiest lock of the weekend, by the way, the Packers. I told you that last week, too. There's no chance Tua's winning in the cold. He just doesn't. It's like Derek Carr in the cold. He doesn't win.
He's like 0-5 or something now in the cold. It's just warm weather teams don't do well in the cold. It's science.
And then you got the Niners hosting the Lions on December 30th. That's going to be a massive game. That's going to be a primetime game. And then you got the Cardinals Niners. And that's the game that could potentially be for the division.
You know,
potentially.
What? You know what, Spadoni? If Cam, if we got the NFL primetime music, I mapped this out the other day. A realistic path for the Niners to win the NFC West and get into the playoffs. Let's get some music here. All right. Starting off with Week 13. It's the current week that we're in right now. Obviously, the 49ers are probably going to lose to the Bills. You can expect that.
Are you locking that one in real quick?
I think we can lock that one in.
Okay.
For the purpose of this exercise right here.
If Brock Purdy plays, I'm not locking it in, though. But if Brandon Allen, it's...
Right now, this is what the path looks like. Path could change. This is what it looks like. Cardinals, though, they're going to be in Minnesota this weekend. I'm going to let you get the drop.
Calamari, as our friend Lonnie
Minnesota!
Likes
to say.
I thought you were going for that one there.
No. We got to go Viking horn, baby.
And, well, it may be going... It should be going...
Fight on.
Sam Darnold will lead the Vikings to a win over the Cardinals this weekend. Got the Rams in New Orleans. Rams are probably going to win that one this weekend. Seahawks, they're going to be at the Meadowlands taking on the Jets. Yeah, it's probably a win there. That leaves the Niners at 5-7, the Cardinals at 6-6, the Rams at 6-6, and the Seahawks 7-5. It's going to be feeling bleak here, folks. Roll with me here, all right? Bear with me.
Yeah, bear
it's
going
to get better. Speaking of bearing with me, Week 14, Niners versus the Bears. I think the Niners take care of business in that one. Yes, Caleb Williams looks good, but I think the Niners at home have a good enough team. They will beat the Bears. Cardinals, they're going to be at home hosting the Seahawks. They're going to want some revenge after what the Seahawks did to them a couple weeks ago. I got the Cardinals coming out on top in that one there. And then, of course, the Rams are going to do next weekend what the Niners are going to do this weekend, which is lose to the Buffalo Bills. So coming out Week 14.
Is that game at SoFi Stadium, or is that in Buffalo?
I believe that is in Buffalo.
Okay.
I don't think it would matter, though. So out of Week 14, the Niners will be 6-7. The Cardinals and Seahawks will
have... That's SoFi, by the way. So that does make a difference to me.
I still think the Bills won't come out on top there. Cardinals and Seahawks will both be 7-6, and the Rams will be 6-7. Moving on to Week 15. The Niners host the Rams at home on Thursday Night Football. This is a major key inflection point game for both teams. I think the Niners will take care of business at home against the Rams. They're not going to fall apart in the fourth quarter like they did last time. It's a loaded statement. They will come out on top there. Cardinals, they got to play the Patriots that week. They'll probably take care of business there. Seahawks, they're going to be hosting the Packers. I think the Packers are good enough to go into Seattle and come out with a win there. So coming out of Week 15, the Niners are back to 500 at 7-7. And they'll be tied with the Seahawks, who are also at 7-7. Cardinals will be on top of the division at 8-6. And then finally, the Rams bring up the rear at 6-8. Moving on to Week 16. Niners take their talents to South Beach. Which, remember when that was like the most fun statement to say? May or may not have said that when I announced my intention to go to Miami.
Oh,
they will beat the Dolphins, though, at Hard Rock Stadium to improve to 8-7. The Cardinals will be in Carolina that weekend. My guess is the Cardinals will win that game, but we just saw Carolina push the Chiefs this last weekend. They're playing hard. The Carolina Panthers, they want to show that they are not the poo fest that we
win
all thought
one
they
for
were.
Dave Canales, that's
they're
what we're
be,
doing.
They're going to be winning one for Bryce Petty. Like they're
Bryce Petty?
Bryce Young. Sorry, Bryce Young. I got all my Bryce
Baylor?
Yeah, my Bryce is mixed up there. So Panthers, they could be playing hard that game. So that is not a gimme. That is one of those any given Sundays. West Coast team going out to the East Coast. You got that early start there. That's one of those anything could happen. I do think the Cardinals win that game, though. The Rams will be in New York against the Jets. Everyone's beating the Jets these days. And then the Seahawks will be hosting the Vikings. And I think the Vikings will take care of business against the Seahawks. So after Week 16, you got your Cardinals in first place at 9-6. The Niners in second place at 8-7. And the Rams and Seahawks bring up the rear at 7-8. Week 17. Niners are probably going to lose to the Lions on Monday Night Football. The Lions, they're looking for revenge. The Lions this year are basically what the Niners were last year. The angry team with a chip on their shoulder, looking to show that what happened in the NFC title game was a fluke. I honestly would not be surprised if the Lions do to the Niners what the Niners did to the Eagles and just absolutely embarrass them on national TV. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be one of the easiest shows we've ever done here on the Morning Rose, because it's going to be 4 hours of, how do you let that happen? Among other things. That's my Shasky impersonation.
That was a Shasky because that startled me.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. So that was a Shasky. That was a good one. I'll give you a 4 for that.
Was I wrong? The Cardinals, are going to be in L.A. taking on the Rams. Spinoni, you know how different divisional games can be, especially at SoFi. I think the Rams will come out on top in this one. Now, again, not a gimme. Divisional games are different. But the Rams, I believe, will win that game. The Seahawks, they're going to be in Chicago taking on Da Bears that weekend. With or without Eberflus, I think the Seahawks still win that game. So in that situation, here are your week eight, your standings going in to week 18. The 9-7 Cardinals, the 8-8 Niners, the 8-8 Rams, and the 8-8 Seahawks. That's going to be going into the final game of the year. And in that situation, the Niners are going to need some help. If the Seahawks can beat the Rams, and the Niners do their due diligence and beat the Cardinals, the San Francisco 49ers, with all the tiebreakers said and done, will be on top of your NFC West. That, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, is my path for the Niners to win the division. They will be 9-8. The Seahawks will be 9-8. The Cardinals will be 9-8. But due to the tiebreakers, that is how the Niners will come out on top. Because in that situation, they'll all have equal division records. I believe they have equal conference records. And then it gets into the strength of victories, which is where you start, I mentioned earlier, need the Bucks to start winning, need the Chargers to start losing, you need anyone, any of the unique opponents, the Seahawks play to start losing. It's very much there for the Niners. They need some help, but it's very much there.
And that is Sam Lubman breaking it down on why the Niners still can have a little bit of hope. Shout out Bob. Got to have a little hope. 888-957-9570. Raj is in Santa Rosa. He wants to react to what Sam Lubman had to say. Raj, what's going on, man? You're on with Spadoni and Lubman on the Morning Roast.
Hey, guys. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving yesterday. Thanks for taking my call. So you guys said call in and chime in on, like, what you think of the Niners. And so I'll remain optimistic, but I think kind of the writing's on the wall for this season. I also do kind of, my opinion is I do believe it's just excuses to say the injuries caught up with this year. It is a big part, but I just kind of think right now just a little of everything is not clicking, whether it be the defense, offense, special teams, play calling. We haven't put one complete game together, and that's just, I don't see it really changing. But I'll remain optimistic.
Raj, you mentioned the injuries there. Like, I get it. Every team has injuries, but you got to figure if the Niners had at least a few more of their guys healthy, you think that they're able to execute down the stretch a little bit more? Like, you think if the Greenlaw injury is a big one. That's kind of a flukish injury. You think if Dre Greenlaw's healthy, that this Niners defense is looking a little bit different in these fourth quarters here? If Nick Bosa is fully healthy, are they able to get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback here in the fourth quarter and maybe get some extra stops? Like, that's where I say, like, eventually the injuries, they just become such a problem that, like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, so for me, the reason why I think it's still sort of an excuse is because the reality is that we're just injured. The reality is Sorensen might be a little bit in over his head for his first year, we could play the if game all we want, but right now I just feel like the most complete game I feel we probably put this whole year together was the Jets game opening night. And
when they were at their healthiest,
that's not good. And I think if we were to make it into the playoffs, I think a little more than you that I think we need to go 10-7 as opposed to 9-8. Because of the tiebreakers, I liked what you said, though, and explained it. But I do think it'd probably need to be, we need to go 5-1 to get there.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. I know you guys don't. And then one thing I want to say, don't cut me off. I just want to say this, is I grew up as a Broncos fan. I lived in Denver during Mike Shanahan's whole run as the Broncos coach. And I just see a lot of parallels to what's going on with Kyle right now. And I hope it fares better. Mike, his dad, as great as he was, and we won 2 Super Bowls, he just was so stubborn, and eventually the league caught up to what he was doing and they had a game plan for it. And I hope that's not the case with us. I hope we retool and regroup this after this season and we get back to normal next year.
There you go. That's Raj in Santa Rosa, 888-957-9570. Raj is saying we can't use the injuries as an excuse. Are the injuries a legitimate excuse for the San Francisco 49ers struggle this season? 888-957-9570.
Really quick, Raj brought up something there when he asked me not to cut him off, which I like how he's been listening to the show. He knows how it operates. But he mentioned how, you know, people's kind of got tired of Mike Shanahan out there. Remember we had Woody Page on a couple last week. He mentioned something kind of different. Here's what Woody Page had to say about the Shanahan fatigue.
It might have been fatigue in regard to not Mike Shanahan's fatigue, but the fatigue of Pat Bowlen, the late owner of the Denver Broncos, and so many people around Denver going, yeah, should have won the Super Bowl in 1995, and they were upset by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the next 1996, then the next 2 years, it wasn't the Super Bowl. But it was a very average team. If you look, Mike's last 6-7 years, they had an overall 500 record. And so you have fan fatigue, you have media fatigue, you have ownership fatigue, and that seems to be happening out there. Mike got off to a slow, Cal got off to a slow start with 49ers, and then you know, came around and it became one of the best teams and organizations in football. And now there's the obvious fatigue that's setting in there.
So is there something similar setting in with the Niner fans and Kyle Shanahan where, you know, because the overall performance, yes, it's rough this year, but again, Kyle Shanahan, 4 straight NFC title games, some of the best offenses and defenses in the league during that time. Like, this guy, he's gotten you to 2 Super Bowls. Now you can say Kyle Shanahan can't win the big game. I wonder, like, does Kyle Shanahan have a Super Bowl problem, or does he just have a GOAT problem? And by GOAT problem, I mean, look at the quarterbacks that have beaten Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl. You know, there's Super Bowl 51. Was 51 or 52? With the Falcons. Now, of course, we can argue till the cows come home over how much responsibility Kyle Shanahan deserves for that Super Bowl loss. But the fact of the matter is, he lost that Super Bowl to this guy named Tom Brady. That was his name.
Heard of him?
Yeah, he's you know, only one of the 3 greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, along with Joe Montana and that other quarterback. What's his name? Patrick Mahomes has beaten Shanahan twice in the Super Bowl. If the biggest knock on you is you can't beat Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, like if that's the state, like I know you got to go through. But let's be realistic here. Like, Kyle Shanahan has just run into some incredible buzzsaws in the Super Bowl. And there's just not really anything he can do about that. But I do wonder if just...
No, the overtime rules help, but continue.
Well, yeah, that he kind of got screwed there a little bit. He kind of set himself up there. But I wonder if that's kind of where Niner fans are at, where it's like, we don't care that they're getting to the Super Bowl anymore. It's just we're tired of falling short in this fashion with Kyle Shanahan. It's just to the point where it's just... Sometimes you get to a situation where things might be working on paper, but just the feel in everything there is just, it's not there like it used to be. The fun, the joy, the passion isn't there like it used to be. And you just get to a situation where we saw a similar, you know, situation with Klay Thompson, the Warriors play out. We're like, yeah, you guys should be able to make it work out, but you just get to a point where it's just like, maybe it's just best if we all go our separate ways here and pick ourselves up, because we've gotten too wrapped up within ourselves in this. We've gotten too emotionally compromised. And when you fall flat on the biggest stage twice like that, I feel like there's just a level of exasperation with Niner fans that is just, they just don't want to be hurt by this process anymore.
You gotta trust the process, though, Sammy. Sam Hinkie, come on.
I just wonder if that's kind of where 49er fans are at. Are you fatigued with Kyle Shanahan and the whole Shanahan experience? Because he's been here for a while. Nine years
now. We were in the Super Bowl 9 months ago. Jesus! What are we doing? Cruiser 209. What's up, man? Oh, no, sorry. That's Don in Concord. Hold on, Don. I know you want to get to a shout-out here in a second. I'll get to you in a sec.
Shout those Bears.
Let's go to Cruiser in the 209. Sorry about that.
Cal Bears.
I clicked something wrong. Go ahead, Cam. Sorry.
Spadoni.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, loves? How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Cruiser?
Hey, you know, guys, Sam, I really appreciate your enthusiasm, but me, count me on the side of I'm tapped out. Yeah. I don't think this is it. I don't think this is our year. I agree with your analysis on the remaining games on the schedule. I mean, the Bears are just terrible. Good Lord. Look at the end of yesterday's game. And Miami, I'm not afraid of them. But you know what? I think our goose is good. Even if we were to take those division games, I mean, all that we're doing is we're leaking oil going into the playoffs, and then we're just going to be a first round out. And, you know, I mean, I know somebody's got to win the division, but at this point, I would rather just slap some duct tape on it and send it back into the shop, because I don't want to see my team go get myrtleized in the playoffs. So for all the reasons and probably many others, I think this was just a market correction over last year, since we were incredibly lucky with all the health, with staying healthy rather, and CMC emerging as the offensive player of the year. I think the window is darn near shut, and I'm not ready to say I'm done with Shanahan, but as far as fatigue is concerned, I'm feeling it. I mean, I've had season tickets with the Niners since Levi's opened, and I don't live in the area anymore. So getting out there and getting home, getting ready for work is getting increasingly becoming difficult. So my PSLs are up this year. I think someone else can have them. So,
hey Cruiser, real quick. Yeah. What are you fatigued by with Shanahan? Because I just mentioned he was in the Super Bowl 9 months ago. I get it, you didn't win it, but what's been fatiguing about him?
I think his stubborn insistence on going in one direction and one direction only. I mean, look at this season. CMC is back, but he's clearly not what he was last year. Okay, we have Garando and Mason. These guys were kicking butt in the beginning of the season, and now they're on a milk carton. You know, like where are they? How come they're not playing? Right? When Mostert ran up and down Green Bay in the playoffs a few years back. Okay, where was he in the Super Bowl? It's like, Kyle, he's trying to be cute. He outfoxes himself at times, and I feel like he's probably got this grand scheme in place to where if everything clicks at the exact moment he wants it to, everything's going to be easy, and it doesn't, and he doesn't adjust in time. I don't know what he's doing. So I just feel like he's at times a little bit too stubborn. Like when CMC first came back, how many times did he run in that game? It's like, dude, he's keeping up the Shanahan time honored tradition of running a good back into the ground. And I see that happening now, and there's no reason for it to. So I'm just questioning his decision making now. And, I think we're just going to be found on the side of the road dead coming into this last stretch. Damn. So you know what? I'm just going to bundle up, and I'm going to enjoy my Warriors basketball. Thanks a lot, Billy.
That's Cruiser in the 209. Appreciate you. 888-957-9570. Fatigue.
I like that word.
Myrtleized?
Myrtleized. Yeah, that word.
Not brutalized, not murder, but myrtleized.
Anytime you combine two words like that, I'm going to use that word now. Myrtleized.
They say that.
Good stuff, Cruiser.
When you get trashed at Myrtle Beach, that's what they say. You get myrtleized.
Oh, all right.
You like that? Come on.
I've only been to Myrtle Beach. I did not know that. I've only been to Myrtle Beach once, but I wasn't old enough to drink. So
there you go.
I don't know if I'm going to be going back.
In regards to, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, and Cruiser did too, like, the insistence on one style of play, the insistence on not adjusting mid-season, right, or adjusting your skill set to your specific players, vice versa. There's been a lot of that, and I think fair criticism, I should say, in regards to Kyle Shanahan. Greg Cosell, this is what he does for a living. He breaks down the film. He knows Kyle Shanahan's system inside and out. This is what he had to say on why Shanahan and the 49ers are reluctant to adjust.
You know how it is. When a team's been really good, and sometimes I think people forget how good the Niners have been. See, they haven't won a Super Bowl, so there are probably some people who think, oh, they're not good. But, I mean, they've been really good for a number of years. I would imagine, well, I know this for a fact because I've talked to coaches, not their coaches, I mean coaches over the years in my job. It's very difficult to decide to change something that has been really effective for a long time. Mm. I know fans think that's easy. Oh, just change. It's not working today. But, you know, that's a hard thing to do because you've been really successful doing it.
So,
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, the last, going back the last 5 years in the seasons that the 49ers have had a reasonably healthy roster, they've made it to the NFC title game. The two outlier years, 2020 and this year, they were, you know, filling up the injury ward of the hospital wing. So, yeah, when Kyle Shanahan has all of his pieces together, he can make sweet music with it. Now, if you want to knock him for you know, not being able to find other ways to win. Yeah, I guess that's a good point there. I don't know if I really have a good answer for that there. But that's the thing. That's why, like, I wouldn't fire Kyle after this year. I get the fatigue with that, though. But he has shown that his process does work. His process does get you there. And, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Spadoni, they didn't play a great game in that Super Bowl, but they still played well enough to be on the precipice of winning it at the end. Despite playing what I thought was maybe a C-plus, C-minus game, they still had a chance to win it. So it's just, I think it's just, if you're Kyle Shanahan, let's ask this question in terms of the Shanahan fatigue. I mean, they're probably going to have to restock this team now after this season. Kyle Shanahan's already basically rebuilt this team twice. You know, he took over the expansion team that he inherited before the 2017 season, and a couple years later had him in the Super Bowl with Kendrick Bourne as your top receiver and Raheem Mostert as your RB1.
Oh, and then Emmanuel Sanders, but
got Emmanuel Sanders too. But I mean, that came in later on.
Yeah,
but I never looked at Emmanuel Sanders.
Debo's a rookie.
Bosa's a rookie. Yeah. Kittle was an emerging tight end. But that was a good team. But you look at the team he put together last year that was rebuilt from the ashes of that 2020 team. That team was incredible. So are we willing to give Kyle Shanahan one more chance to retool this team, reload this team, and make another run? I mean, you look at the drafts he's had the last couple years. He's finding a lot of great talent. Especially on the defensive side. Renardo Green's looking good. Tatum Bethune's looking good at times. Who's our other D Winners? Mm-hmm. He's gotten a lot. I mean, we haven't seen him on the field a lot, but, you know, he was getting rave reviews a lot earlier in the season. D'Amador Lenore, he's become a guy. Malik Mustafa, he's looking like he's gonna make the Niners not miss Talanoa Hufanga. So, and Shanahan's shown that we got Brandon Ayuk locked up for the next few years. You're banking on him coming back to be in the Brandon Ayuk that he was before the injury. Hopefully you're able to get that happening. You got George Kittle locked. He'll be here for a little bit, while longer. I don't know what you're going to do with Ricky Pearsall, though. The Niners, they're not using him that much right now. So that's going to be a big X factor there. But I don't know. Like, what about Kyle Shanahan in these last few years gives you pause on letting him retool this roster and trying to get back into the NFC's elite next year?
Well, it's really, and the fatigue, I think, more so from the fans is during games, losing close games, stuff like that. It's more X's and O's. For me, I don't have fatigue with Kyle Shanahan. I think he needs to revamp and retool this roster a la of Philadelphia Eagles last year. Mm-hmm. And what they were able to do, what Howie Roseman, their general manager, was able to do. What did they do? They had the worst secondary in the NFL amongst all the playoff teams last year. It didn't even look like it was close. What the Niners did to them leading into that game in Philadelphia last day, when Debo was talking his talk and just absolutely stole their soul, Shang Tsung style, Mortal Kombat, your soul is mine. That's what he did last year to the Philadelphia Eagles secondary. And what did they do? They drafted Cooper DeJean and Kenyon Mitchell. And those guys have been unbelievable for their secondary. It's changed everything. That team is now, that Philadelphia Eagles team is now defensive as much as it is offensive-minded now, with Kellen Moore, their OC, and with Vic Fangio, their defensive coordinator. Nick Sirianni took a lot of heat last year, and rightfully so. But right now, he's talking his talk, and it's working. And I'm looking at what the 49ers need to do. It comes during the draft. It comes in those first rounds, and they have whiffed so many times in the first round. Like, you can't do that. I'm not saying Ricky Pearsall's a whiff. But right now, is he a hit or is he a whiff?
I mean, since
right now he's a whiff.
I mean, what
he can change.
You got Nick Bosa; he's been a hit. You got Brandon Ayuk;
those are the only two in the Kyle Shanahan era you've re-signed in the first round.
Well, yeah, you didn't have a lot for many years. Obviously, you blew that a couple first rounders in 22 and 23 on the Trey Lance pick.
Javon Kinlaw, bust.
Javon Kinlaw, that was
not
a bust.
Good.
Reuben Foster, bust.
Solomon Thomas, obviously, bust. You go to, who's my guy that they got from Alabama? Reuben Foster,
yeah.
Bust. Like, there's been way too many of those.
Yeah. And he's made up for it, though, with the success he's had in the second, third, and fourth rounds on later.
But like, just think of the whiff, the Trey Lance deal alone, and getting rid of all those picks, and where you could be at now if you didn't make that deal. Again, ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. You can't go back and change things, but that's what needs to be prioritized with this team, more so than the X's and O's right now, because those will take care of themselves. I have faith in Kyle Shanahan, the mind and the play caller, more than the GM right now. Because don't get it twisted, John Lynch is there, but this is Kyle's baby. Like, they talk about everything together, but Kyle gets the final say on a lot of this stuff.
John Lynch is just a glorified I dotter and T crosser in that sense.
And he has strong input. I'm not here to say he doesn't do anything. He is important in the process of all this because you need to have your GM and your head coach in lockstep at all times. You've seen Trent Baalke in the past not get along with Jim Harbaugh, and that ended up having huge ramifications. Hell, we're kind of seeing it with Trent Baalke right now in Jacksonville. He's going to be on his third head coach before you know it. So I'm looking at what they can do in the offseason when it comes to trades, when it comes to re-signing guys, when it comes to going after, when it comes to cutting dead weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's talked about in the past, you know, the quarterback market. I don't know. It's you got to pay him. It hampers your team when you have to pay these guys so much money. Hey, I don't like drafting a lineman in the first round unless they're a bona fide future Hall of Famer. Well, maybe you should start prioritizing that more because you know what's hurting you right now, Kyle Shanahan? Is your lack of depth on the offensive line.
You're getting crushed. You know,
we're talking about the depth of the Warriors right now, and I get it, the depth has been tested with the 49ers, but it's the offensive line that we knew coming into it. It's Trent Williams, it's Aaron Banks, and then Jake Brendel. Now, Dominic Pooney's been good.
You got a keeper there. Colt McKivitz is yeesh. Aaron Banks has his moments. Jake Brendel, that's one where I remember a couple years ago when I saw him at training camp. He was staying next to Spencer Burford at the time, which, by the way, Spencer Burford, talk about a fall-off.
Burford.
But he was staying next to Spencer Burford. Now, Spencer Burford is a large human being for a lineman to begin with. But the Jake Brendel standing next to him is just like, that's the center. This little, tiny little guy here. And, of course, I say Brendel, he's 300 pounds, 6'3", something like that. But he is kind of small for a center. And I feel like just that lack of size, you're finally starting to see that kind of show through with just the poor performance there. But
it's cute when it's working against, you know, Aaron Donald, and it's like, oh, look, he's the Donald stopper and stuff like that, but he's not working against everyone else.
It's
not
a stick out, but no, it's Jake Brendel, he's dropped off precipitously this year. Aaron Banks has been less than stellar. Trent Williams is, I don't know what to expect from Trent Williams anymore. I feel like this is the last probably good year you might get out of Trent.
Wow.
Like, he's 36, 37 years old. Like, at some point, like, you're playing one of the most demanding positions, not in football, but in all of professional sports, in left tackle there. If I'm the Niners, yeah, you're definitely looking ahead to next year. You need to make that first round pick has to be on the offensive or defensive line. I was reading about this kid out of Penn State, Abdul Carter, one of the DNs they got there. He could be an option there. Haven't really done any sort of deep dives on the tackles or guards market. Probably you have to go after a left tackle in the draft.
Mel Kiper, left here.
I haven't gotten there yet. I got to push the forehead up a little bit. Okay. But yeah, I think that's gonna be your big priority. The good news is, I mean, Anna, you might not need to be in the top 10 to get those guys, though, because a lot of teams right now could be looking for quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of them. That's the problem. So they're going to start looking at other players. Like, there's Travis Hunter. He's going to be the one player, right? If you're not looking for a quarterback right now, you're probably looking at Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and then Jalen Milroe, probably. And there's going to be some other guy that comes out of nowhere everyone's going to be all infatuated with. But those are the probably three that'll be taken in the first round. And there's levels. It's Shedeur, it's Cam, and then I think there's a drop-off in hell. There might be a drop-off from Shedeur to Cam Ward. I know your guy, Cam Ward, obviously. Is he still the Heisman favorite, by the way, or is that Travis Hunter?
I think Travis Hunter's kind of pulling into the lead there. Ashton Jeanty and Boise, he's getting a lot of love, too.
Yeah.
Which is wild because, I mean, Cam Ward's numbers are absolutely ridiculous. The problem is Cam Ward doesn't have a signature win this year. His best win's probably against Florida.
If he has an impressive performance against Syracuse and in the title game, right? So we'll see.
He's going to have to the way his Miami's defense playing.
Jan of Mountain View wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Jan? You're on with Spadoni and Lubman on the Morning Roast.
Yes, good morning. What I was going to bring up is watching those three games yesterday, I noticed that those coaches all had offensive coordinators. And I know that Shanahan wants to make his own place, but I feel that he needs some extra help. And if he got someone in there that was a good offensive coordinator, he could learn from him and maybe make some adjustments and learn from him and work together as a team. And while the same way, get a defensive coordinator that will help him as well, instead of trying to be one-sided and do it all himself. I mean, he needs help, and the only way he's going to get over the top is by listening to other people and working together as a team. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. That was a very strong and succinct call right there. 888-957-9570. We're going to pivot to the Warriors on the other side. We got a couple minutes here to put a bow on this 49ers talk, Sam Lubman. And there's always just something to gnaw on with the 49ers and football in general. There's so much happening right now. To her point, though, getting to that, you think they need an offensive coordinator right now? Do they miss Mike McDaniel? Baldy mentioned that last week, actually.
They might, actually. I think if you want Kyle to adjust, he's not going to adjust in what they do, between the lines on game day. That's just, you heard what Greg Cosell said. When it's worked as much as it has, there's the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality there. So if you're, banging your head against the wall saying, Kyle, change, you're going to keep banging. Like, first off, stop banging your head against the wall. It's bad for your head. It also, like, he's not going to change in that sense.
That's
so,
a good PSA. Don't bang your head against the wall. That's your one thing.
Concussions are bad. Shout to Tua.
Come on. Yeah, he was fine yesterday. Don't do that. Ken just walked in here. Big Dolphins fan.
Oh,
too.
Did he really? Oh,
yeah, he's back there. Tough L. He knew that was coming, though. He wasn't surprised.
Ken's a smart fan, that sense. But, no, where Kyle
is the scheme broken or the players just broken? Right?
Well, like, I mean, the players this year are very much broken.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is it, like, to Greg Cosell's point, like, if you're Shanahan, he's like, I'm not changing anything, like, just aren't executing.
He needs he probably does need a better offensive coordinator. The problem is, though, is Kyle is such a control freak, and it's his system. He needs someone who he can trust to basically think like him and operate his system like him. And with, like we saw last year with Steve Wilkes, Wilkes might have been a good coordinator, but he didn't really do it in the way that Shanahan wanted. Nick Sorensen is going to do things in the way that Shanahan wants. Same thing with Chris Forrester. He's going to do things the way Shanahan wants, and it's on those guys to basically perform well enough in their roles to, use this offense correctly. So will Kyle go out and get that offensive coordinator that's from the outside and bring him in? Unless he's somewhere on the Mike Shanahan coaching tree, I wouldn't hold out hope for that. Mike McDaniel is not walking through that door anytime soon.
There you go. Real quick, before we hit the injury report, we didn't have any Shanahan shout-outs today, but Don in Concord, nonetheless, wants to give one out, and that's fine. 888-957-9570. What's going on, Don? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, good morning, Sam, and Scamoni ice cream. Get a big scoop of Scamoni in the morning at 5 o'clock. My shout out is to the Kingfish Bar. We're going to watch the Cal Bears. I know we're 13.5-point underdogs, but I feel that we're going to beat SMU.
We believe.
Today, I got the Raiders. I got the Raiders to beat Kansas City by about 2 points.
Whoa!
Then the Niners are going to roll over. Got the Niners rolling, so I got all the dogs this weekend.
No, we don't. Don, the Raiders can't win. Tanking for Shador. That's what we're doing. All right. Thanks, Don. That's Don in Concord. 888-957-9570.
I think of those
the worst
three,
thing to happen to the Raiders is winning today.
I think of those three picks, the Cal one might be the best, and that's just how down bad it is right now. When Cal is your best hope.
Right. Niners 7-point road dogs. Raiders 13-point road dogs. You might have to just take the points there for the Raiders just because it's 13, you kind of have to. That's so many points.
Well, they might get one of those, like, we don't care scores at the end or something like that. Like,
O'Connell beat Patrick Mahomes. Last time they played in Kansas City, Aiden O'Connell beat him. He didn't complete a pass after the first quarter, but we're not going
to
talk about that.
You don't need to when you're that good.
That was Amir Wright rushing for like 150 yards. So
some good coaching right there.
Yeah, we'll be into that. Raiders Chiefs, 12 o'clock today. And I think Al Michaels will be asleep at halftime in that performance. Let's get to the injury report. Can we do that, Cam? I'm throwing it to you right now. It's all right. You'll see it in the top right there. Morning Roast Liners. Ken's pointing to you right now as I'm doing play-by-play of where to find things. And I forgot to explain to Cam that we have the injury report right here. And there it is.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
There we go.
Ow!
Thank you, John Sterling. Will Stephen Curry play tomorrow against the Suns? That is the question. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr told reporters yesterday that was the plan. Kerr said it was trainer Rick Celebrini, father of Macklin Celebrini, that Steph sit out of Wednesday night's game, I should say, against the Thunder as he deals with bilateral patellofemoral in both knees. That's tendonitis, I would assume, bursitis, whatever you want to call it. The hope is a few days off will allow Steph to suit up tonight. The injury report is brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We're going to talk about those Dubs. Next, they're on a three-game losing streak. What's going on? Is it time to panic? On 95.7 The Game.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.